for the lovely song. That was great. What a great way to start. Okay, so we are looking at this year at values-based spiritual living, looking at different aspects of that. And so for the month of April, our theme is spiritual living through transformation and evolution. And today I'm going to share some thoughts about the science of the absolute. So I have to start off with a definition. What is the absolute? What does that mean? Well, by definition, it means that the absolute is that which cannot be limited, that which nothing can limit, and that which forever transcends any conceivable limitation. The absolute is unconditioned perfection. So it's a synonym, it's another word for God, or the absolute, the allness of life. Spirit is absolute being, it is truth. It is that part of the universe that has self-knowingness, self-choice, volition, and will. Ernest Holmes said, science is absolute knowledge. The facts of science can be demonstrated. You can rely on science doing what it says it will do, for it's been tested to do that. So the science of the absolute is what we know and can demonstrate about perfect spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. So in order to get back to what we know and can demonstrate about perfect spirit, we have to get back to the basics of what we know. The basics. Every Sunday I say, welcome to this hour of remembering and celebrating the truth of who we really are. Well, that's the basic. That's the basic of this teaching, who we really are. And it's important to get back to that on a regular basis. You know, in sports, athletes get back to the basics of their sport on a regular basis. Did you know that the golf pro Phil Mickelson says that he hits over 1,500 practice balls every month on a practice range? So that's in addition to his regular golf game hits. So he understands the basics of getting back to his swing and how to perfect that swing. So too, we need to get back to the basics of who we are, how do we express in this life, and how to perfect that so that we can do that more effectively. So that's the basis of our spiritual work. It's remembering who we are. Remembering who we are. We are one with that energy, that life that created everything. It created everything out of itself somehow, and that includes us. So there's one power, one life that is moving through us and as us, and it's responsive to us. We are not just in a void echo chamber. As Kevin Song says, we keep thinking the thoughts that create our life. Spirit responds to us by the thoughts that we're thinking. So we're reflections right now of what we've thought and believed. So if I want to catch a new truth about myself, a new understanding, I have to go deeply within and listen and hear that truth of who I am so that it can be reflected through me more completely. That's what we're all here to express. We're all here to create our lives according to that perfect life that created us. So we have to go back to the basics over and over again. Never get tired of the basics. The basics are the root of everything. I used to think that we would go higher in our understanding. Well, it's not exactly higher. It's more like deeper. We deepen our understanding as we go deeper within. When we go into the silence, we deepen that understanding. We listen in a deeper way to that truth of our oneness. So we have to practice over and over again, remembering who we are. That is the crux of the whole matter, remembering who we are, that we're not separated from our good, we're not separated from life, from the goodness of life. We are one with it. We are one with it. We are its expression. So we have to practice the science of the absolute that begins with perfect God, perfect being, perfect life. So it's easy to get off center, isn't it? We certainly do enough of that. We get distracted from the truth of who we are. So that's why we don't practice the science of the absolute more than we do. That's why we don't remember it more often. It's because we're bound up in our troubles, in our fears, in our ignorance, and it takes time to remember who we are. And sometimes we just don't take that time to do that. We just dart off on the illusions, on the false ideas that we have been breeding in our mind, and we just keep living that over and over and over instead of going within and getting a new thought and a new understanding of who we are. Lately, I've been working with the science of the absolute in healing some allergy symptoms that I've been experiencing. And Erica helped me the other day. She brought me a little bottle of elderberry capsules that are to help with building your immune system. So, and I appreciate all the things that have come into my experience to help me as I'm developing the consciousness of oneness. Now, this whole spirit, this whole experience has been quite humbling for me, because I didn't have any allergy symptoms until just a few months ago. And then all of a sudden, here I am dealing with this. And the humility about it is that about 25 years ago, when I first became a practitioner, and I knew everything, of course, you know, when you're starting something, you think you know it all. So I knew everything. Well, I met a new minister, and she had allergies. She had hay fever. And so I very naively asked her, well, why don't you just treat and heal that? Why do you keep taking medicine? And she said, well, it's just easier. An honest woman. She said, it's just easier to take the medicine than to take the time to heal it. Well, I certainly understand that, because now, after darting off in all different directions, figuring out what foods I'm eating, what I'm doing, what I'm breathing, what's happening, I'm finally taking the time to go within and get a real understanding of what's going on. So I understand how sometimes we don't take the time to heal things because we don't think we have the time. But at some point, we do have to go within and realize the truth of who we are and let that come forth. So I've been practicing sitting in the silence and listening to the truth of who I am, that I'm one with the mind of God. I'm one with the life of God. I'm one with the health of God. Now, it's not just that the health of God is in me. It's bigger than that. I am in the center of God's health. I am the center of that. So once we get that, it's not just something that we stick inside of us or that we pull out from inside of us. It's something that we are absolutely immersed in, absolutely one with on every level. And the same truth holds true for any situation that we may be dealing with. If we're dealing with lack or limitation in any way, we have to realize that we are that abundance of God. We are already that. We are in the very lap of luxury. We're in the very midst of the wholeness. We study this in A Course in Miracles, that there is no problem except the belief that we're separated from our good. That's the whole thing. So as we let go of that, so I'm having to let go of my old beliefs in that that my body's irritated or inflamed about something, and realize that that is not the truth. And as I take in new ideas, I transform the old ideas, because remember that law of physics that two things can't occupy the same space at the same time? So when I take in the ideas of health, the old ideas have to be chemicalized. They're neutralized. They just go back to nothingness. They dissolve. They can't stay in the same place. So that's what we do when we take in new thoughts. We're releasing the old. Now, the thing that I'm knowing about this is that this power, this presence that I'm immersed in is what is doing the work through me. And that's what we can all know about any situation. It's not up to us to do it. It's not up to our human self, because our human self is limited. But the divine self that we're one with is unlimited. So as we let that work through us, it produces our health, our prosperity, our harmony, our peace, our love, whatever it is. You know, Jesus said, it's not me, but the Father within who does the work. Well, that's true for all of us in whatever situation that we're dealing with. It's the principle that we're immersed in that's working through us. And this principle is impersonal. It doesn't differentiate or discriminate in any way. It's just like the principle of electricity. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works, but I know if I go over there and flip a switch that I can make lights come on, right? It's not exactly magic. It's just that I don't understand the principle because it's beyond my scope of what I have studied and learned. Well, also the principle of our healing, our prosperity, whatever the good that we want in our life, it may be beyond the scope of what we understand, but we can flip that switch. We can still use it by acknowledging it, by knowing it. I have to know that electricity is wired up here in order to know that I can flip that switch. There are certain things that have to be met, certain requirements that have to be met. I have to know, I have to acknowledge that health is my birthright. Health is absolutely my birthright. That's the miracle of life that is available for all of us. The same thing is true for our abundance and prosperity. We are not meant to be living in lack in any way. It's right here for us, but we have to acknowledge that, align ourselves with that, and allow it to move in our experience. So this is a deep interpersonal work that we have to do. And in that work, we reveal the divinity of ourselves, our wholeness, and therefore our freedom. And it works in all areas. So whatever challenge you may be dealing with, when you're tired of dealing with it in the outer, remember that there's an inner truth that creates the true healing. You might be able to put a little cure on it now and then. You might be able to move to another location or take a different job or get rid of that spouse or whatever it is. But remember that the true healing takes place within you. If you don't recognize that, then you're just going to go recreate it again someplace else because the consciousness is still there to do it. So the science of the absolute is knowing absolutely that we are in that one mind. And it's a science because we can demonstrate it over and over again. And that's what we do as metaphysicians. We begin one by one to break the chains of human consciousness that are binding us to these limitations and these problems. So if we are sick or we're experiencing some symptoms, such as my allergy symptoms, there is operating through our consciousness a thought that we are sick or that we have these symptoms. That's the idea. That's the supposed problem that we have to solve. In truth, it's not a problem because it's not the truth. You see that? It's just an illusion. It's a thought we have to change, and that's what we can do. So how do we do that? Well, we do it, like Kevin Song says, by the same way we brought it about, by our thinking. So if we could think a problem into existence, we can let go of the thought of the problem and let ourselves experience the answer. We can let ourselves experience the oneness in consciousness. So the highest truth that we can choose to think is that we are power, we are spirit, we are health, we are wholeness, we are plenty. We are divine order in everything that's working in our lives because we are made in the image and likeness of the divine. We are already perfect. But until we realize that and acknowledge that and accept that as our truth, we keep working under these limitations, these limited thoughts that are keeping us producing limited experiences. So it's through our belief that we put the power behind it. We have to absolutely know within our consciousness that the treatment meaning the changing of our thinking, is behind that is the absolute power and the absolute intelligence. So that's where our challenge comes in, is knowing that and living in that and speaking our word for that and testing it, strengthening that muscle in our consciousness. It's like anything else that you want to get better at. You practice it, you strengthen it until you absolutely know it. So when we do that, when we put out our positive thoughts, our knowing thoughts, we have to protect them. We have to protect them while they're developing and growing. This is the story in the Bible about the baby Jesus, the Christ consciousness wrapped in swaddling clothes. We have to swaddle it. We have to protect it. So our consciousness is vulnerable to being barraged by outside thoughts and things. We have to protect it. We have to build a consciousness that's so strong that it's stronger than anything that might be coming in, anything from our own thought system, anything from society, any old voices from our past that may be still speaking to us. We protect that consciousness. We treat it gingerly. We treat it very carefully. And it doesn't happen all at once. I have to tell you that. It doesn't happen all at once. You've already discovered that, haven't you? It's a process. It's a process, but it's well worth it because everything that we establish in consciousness is ours. It's ours. We just keep working on it to keep it stronger in every way. So we do a little here and a little there. And then if we fall down, which we will, which we do, we don't stay down. We get back up. We get back up and do it again. That's what keeps us being winners. We keep doing it again and again until we get that consciousness really strong. And then we have to go back and do maintenance work, don't we? Because there's always more things coming in. So we're never completely without being fully occupied, are we? We always have something on our plate to do, something to be working on. So what I know is that through a systematic training of our thought, a systematic training of our thinking, that we can be happy, prosperous, successful, and well. We can be harmonious in our lives. We haven't yet arrived at that state of consciousness, and we can't do it all at once, but we can do it. If you think of where you are now, if you've been working these principles for a while, think about where you were a year ago. I bet you'll say you're better off than you were earlier before you knew some of the things that you know now. As we continue to take in new ideas, new thoughts, and work with them, let them become our truth, our life gets better. So in 5 years, in 10 years, you're going to be 5 or 10 years older. Will you be 5 or 10 years spiritually stronger, spiritually smarter? That's what you can ask yourself. How can I use my time today to build that consciousness that will be benefiting me as I move forward? Because moving forward is just inevitable. But growth is optional. Growth and evolution is optional. So just because you haven't yet done it doesn't mean that you can't do it. Ernest Holmes has a quote that I like that says, principle is not bound by precedent. So just because you haven't seen it done yet doesn't mean it can't be done. Principle is not bound by precedent. So in an article entitled An Experiment in Faith, he wrote, the greatest adventure in life would be an experiment within ourselves to see what we could do with this thing that is within us. So that's what we're on. We're on an experiment of faith to see how we can use this power that is within us to the greatest benefit of not only ourselves, but the whole world. That's what benefits when we use this power is everything around us. So what we're doing is not just for ourselves alone, it's for the whole world. It's an experiment in self-discovery. And this self-discovery leads to changes in our consciousness. It leads to the manifestation of higher and higher ideas, higher and higher concepts. And this is what we are working on Wednesday night in our book, Thoughts Are Things. We take in some new thoughts, some new ideas on a subject, and we share our understanding, our experience of that. And then we replace some of those old thoughts, those old beliefs that we might have been holding on to, with some new thoughts. And then we do a little meditation after each section of thoughts to bring in to a deep level, to a deep core level, some new understandings and some new insights that will anchor within us. So we invite you to join us in that. We are almost through with that book, and then we're going to start on another book by Florence Scovel Shinn entitled The Magic Path of Intuition, I believe it is. And Jan Sislo is going to be our leader in that. So that'll be coming up in a few weeks, and we invite you to join us for that. So Ernest Holmes said in the book Love and Law that I referred to last time, Love and Law, which I'm using for my text right now, he said, we are evolving beings in whom reason is slowly developing. People who expect to demonstrate some good, must be very constant, very determined, very positive, very sure and faithful with themselves, patient with themselves, long-suffering with themselves. People who expect to grow spiritually and evolve in spiritual awareness must engage with this infinite mind. So we do have to be very, very patient with ourselves, because that's how we develop love. If we can't love ourselves, how can we love other people unconditionally? So we have to be very patient with ourselves, and see when we fall down, be patient and encourage ourselves to get back up. You can do this, you can do this. Just like we would treat a small child, just like we would treat little Arlo if he fell down. We'd say, you can do it, you can get up and do it again. And he would, he'd learn. So how do we use love and law together in some aspect of our life? How do we work with love and law together? Well, here's what we do. Law is the means by which we speak our word. We affirm the truth in spiritual mind treatment. And then we move our feet. We do what is ours to do. That's following the law. Now, love, on the other hand, has to come along with it. Through love, we speak and know our truth. And then we absolutely know that and trust that the spirit within us will do this work. So we have to do both together. We treat, move our feet. We treat and we trust spirit to do the work that needs to be done. So we move toward our good, and then spirit rushes our good to us. So both of those have to work together. You can't just expect spirit to do it, and I'll just sit here and do nothing. No, that doesn't work, does it? We probably tried that one. That doesn't work. And you can't make it happen. You can't do it all yourself. You have to do both. You do all that is in your power to do, and then you trust spirit to do the rest, fills it in. So we speak a word of power, affirming, I am perfect, whole, and complete. It is in spirit that I live and move and have my being. And then you begin to watch and notice the personal changes that are happening in your life. And every time you see a change, thank you, thank you, thank you. Gratitude opens you up to receiving more. You thank everyone who's benefiting you, everyone who's helping you, everyone who is part of your life experience. You're grateful for them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That makes you a magnet for more good. And more good does come. So that's another way we do our part. Because remember that we're surrounded by a creative mind that is responsive to our thoughts. So when you say thank you, thank you, thank you, that creative mind says, oh, good, you want more of that. Okay, here you go, here's more. So that's how it works, that's how it grows. The science of the absolute is about mind and the relationship of the human to the divine. Each of us is a center of God consciousness. We have the ability to use the power and presence of mind to design and build a successful life. To begin with, choose one thought, one thing that you would like to improve or change, and center yourself in the absolute. Just center yourself in that truth of who you are, that infinite principle of life. And remember that all that you've ever had and all that you ever will have is found in that flow. It externalizes through the avenues of our thinking, and we must learn to control our thoughts. That's really all we need to do. So we destroy the false thought by replacing it with a new thought, and then we know that new truth, we hold to that new truth with faith and confidence until our good arrives, with gratitude for all the little blades of grass that are popping up on our lawn of experience. So that's how you do the science of the absolute. Thank you. Okay, we have an affirmation. Our affirmation is, today the word I speak is spirit and life-giving. I am the truth and nothing but the truth. Will you read it with me? Today the word I speak is spirit and life-giving. I am the truth and nothing but the truth. And so it is. Thank you.